Ministering Out Loud, where we recap the previous week's sermon. This previous week was Easter Sunday, and Dave preached Revelation chapter 5. Dave, we're going to start with a normal question that I normally would do at the end. What didn't you have time to do that you would want to do more of? So I'm pretty sure your sermon was extra long, but I just wanted to check.
No, it was actually short.
Was it short?
Yeah.
Were you thinking of the crowd of visitors?
And try to fall in line with Nick's desires for the service.
I asked him to be around 30 instead of 35.
Dave, under authority. So, Dave, had you been given a different guideline by those in authority over you, what would you have said additionally that you did not have a chance to say?
I don't know that there would have been any different content I would have said, but I probably could have expanded on some of the Old Testament texts, going back to where we see horns. Like in Daniel, the book of Daniel, there's some pretty explicit stuff with like the opposition to Christ that will come in the form of a horn or horns, and therefore, what is going on?
Okay. Side conversations. You're okay. Keep going.
Daniel just opened his eyes for the first time.
Oh, okay.
In this whole podcast.
I've had my eyes closed this whole time.
I thought I said something I shouldn't have said or something.
No.
And so here we have a picture of Jesus. And so the seven horns showing the completeness of his power is supposed to, I think, be an indictment on all the other powers of the world. Could have talked more about that. Could have talked more, done more. Just references to what does the right hand of God mean as far as his power and control over all things. Could have hung out in Daniel 7 longer with what it looks like for the Father to give all authority to the Son of Man. And I went there, but there's just things like that where you could really make the Old Testament connections even stronger. Probably that. But I just feel like every single week there's going to be that.
Yeah, especially in a book like Revelation.
There's so much.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's safe to say there would always be a director's cut of your sermons with just more material that you could. Is there a spot where you're like, I personally would never preach more than X amount of time, regardless of audience? Like, there's a sweet spot for you lengthwise. Is it longer than what you normally get here? Under the tyranny of Nick?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm so locked into my routine now. It probably is hard for me to think about that.
Yeah,
But I've done longer sermon type talks at things like a conference or a gathering that maybe go like an hour or something like that.
You speak at conferences, Dave?
No, never mind. I mean, I have spoken at like a side thing at a conference. I don't speak at conferences.
I didn't realize we were in such rarefied air here.
No, you're not. You're not. But there's certain settings where I will go longer. When they ask you, they say, you have an hour, and it's kind of what's expected. So I mean, I can. There's more to say, but I think that the amount of time I have here, I normally feel like I can do things well, so I don't feel super restricted.
So, now that you're off the conference circuit here, why don't you walk us through the text and give us just an overview of what you saw, what you went through, and we'll interact a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, verses 1-4, there's a scroll that no one can open. There's a
12.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people, there's a scroll in the Old Testament that gets eaten that some people say this scroll is. I don't think this is that scroll. I think that scroll is actually one that John's going to be asked to eat a little bit later in Revelation, that's talking a little bit more about the impending judgment to come, whereas I really think that this scroll coincides with Daniel 12, which is really talking about just the purposes of God coming to pass in historical, redemptive kind of ways to punish those who don't trust him and to save and preserve those who do trust him. I think that's what Revelation's really all about, and I think it makes sense in light of the churches he's writing to. And so there's a scroll, and Daniel was told it was going to be sealed up, and here we find it still sealed, and there's no one who can open it, and that causes weeping, because if God's, as the people of God, if we were to find out God's purposes couldn't come to pass, that would be a reason to weep and be in despair. And so John weeps. An elder comes and says, hey, there is one who can open it. And Jesus shows up on the scene. I think this is meant to be a resurrection, ascension text. He shows up in the midst of the throne, which I think is pointing to the oneness he has with the one who sits on the throne, that Jesus is God. And we see that later in the equal praise they receive as well. But I think that, you know, Jesus has talked about, again, seven horns, seven eyes. He's a lion who's also a lamb. So spent a little bit of time unpacking that imagery, but also then going back and kind of tracing the lineage, you know, from Genesis to Jesse and Isaiah 11 to David. And so just talking about how he's this kingly, sacrificial figure who conquers by his death, which I think is really the theme of Revelation, conquering through suffering, conquering through death, conquering through persecution. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, there's a connection with Jesus that we'll just keep unpacking throughout Revelation.
Yeah.
And so Jesus comes and he can because he's done this redemptive work. So God's purposes can now come to pass. And then we just see a bunch of praise for Jesus for his redemption, right? He's worthy to receive praise because he's redeemed and he's created this kingdom and priest, and he's worthy of global praise from every tribe and tongue and people and language and nation, not just a small amount of praise, but the whole world needs to worship him. That was point three, the worthy Lamb who redeems and is worshiped. And then finally, verses 13 to 15, as kind of the, I think we are meant to read chapters 4 and 5 together, like it's a heavenly throne room scene to encourage the church. So chapter 4, the one on the throne is praised for his creation. Chapter 5, the Lamb is praised for redemption. And then the culminating verses in 13 to 15, they're praised together, showing, I think, again, the oneness of deity here, that Jesus is God. I think that the Holy Spirit, who's in the midst of the throne and all that too, is meant to be seen as God. And so we have this Trinitarian throne room. This is what all of this is what's being unpacked in history now as these seals are broken, and is always happening. He's always worthy of praise. He's always worthy of praise for his redemption. He's always bringing about the purposes of God. He's going to keep working to build his kingdom and this priesthood of all believers, and because of that, he's worthy of our attention and our adoration and our praise. And again, significant for Easter is just here he is. He's alive. So I do think it's a resurrection and ascension text, that here is this risen Lamb that was slain that is now alive to be worshiped for now and all of eternity. So yeah. That was it.
Nick, any reflections on the text? Anything you noticed?
No, I mean, Dave already mentioned it, but it just strikes me that the praise that was given to the Father, you know, in chapter 4 is then given to the Lamb in chapter 5. And so this really, I've never thought about Revelation 5 as like an ascension text before, where, you know, the Lamb who had been slain is standing there and he's at the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's receiving the praise that's due to God. And so, yeah, I mean, this is totally an ascension text showing that the Lamb has the authority. So it's really cool that it worked out. Did you plan the series so that this would fall on Easter?
Yep.
Talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't take a lot of finagling, yeah. So it made sense to do it. It was more of just how we wanted to intro the series.
Didn't take a lot of nagging. The Dave Zuliger story. So as far as, just to put a summary on it.
Yeah.
Revelation 4 was always going on. Revelation 5 happened sometime around April of 33 AD-ish, you know,
sure,
give or take a few years.
Sure, yep.
Okay.
Sure.
And therefore,
I think that's the vision. That's what the vision's teaching us about the reality of history. Yeah.
That's good. I could go feel Lion of the Tribe of Judah, also a lamb.
Yeah.
I don't think lion shows up again in Revelation.
No.
But lamb does.
Mm-hmm. A lot. A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of lamb.
A lot of lamb.
A lot of lamb. Do you have lamb on Easter?
Nope.
Ham?
Nope. Easter plans.
Impossible
got,
burger?
Easter plans got canceled due to sickness, so we got something on the way home. Scrap something in.
Veggie burger.
Happens. Yep.
I had a double smash burger. It was good.
At the place over yonder.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about this randomly when we get to the other podcast.
Randomly.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you guys would say about the text? Revelation 5? Basically, Revelation 5 is like the part of the swimming pool where the little barrier is. Your toes can still touch.
Yeah. It's like the zero depth waiting pool.
I'm feeling that.
That's too much. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, like I'm sorry. It's the part where you all can touch. I'm over my head.
Oh, I see.
I'm over my head. But starting next week.
It's funny how that's reversed in Revelation, though.
That's cute. What do you mean?
They probably were a little bit more over our heads than you are. Might be the one time.
Oh, that might be true.
Might be the one
metaphorically
time.
Metaphorically speaking. So starting next week in Revelation 6, we're going to need to throw on some goggles.
Turning reality on its head.
To stick our head under the water and see a little of that Old Testament depth. Although we've been doing it all along.
Yeah.
For sure. But
It gets a little deeper.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
We do.
We do.
Thanks, guys.